All right, it's 7 p.m. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. First thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll be doing silent prayer afterwards. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. All right. First thing on the agenda is the January 17, 2023 city meeting minutes. There was a correction that came through this afternoon from Commissioner Adams. So, is there any other changes that needed to be made?
I didn't see anything else.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes from January 17th? 2023.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner Bevel. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, financial reports. Did everybody check out the financial reports? Is there any corrections to the financial reports? All right.
I'll make the motion to accept the financial reports.
What?
I'll make the motion to accept the financial reports.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. We're in the process of doing the invoice receipts and reimbursements. And the only thing that was corrected on there, I ran through the water company because Commissioner Malcolm found out, we finally got somebody at the water company to admit that they hadn't turned the water off and we were getting charged for the backflow.
I thought that was weird, you know, when we paid it in December. I'm like, why are we paying this?
Well, you get the bill every 60 days, so.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, they're going to start doing that every 30 days
now. Oh, are they? Okay.
I've heard that for a few months now. I've been waiting for it.
Well, I actually mailed something out the other day from the water company that said they're doing that every 30 days.
Oh.
Soon that is going to happen.
Okay. All right, so we'll continue on with that. All right. Next thing on the agenda is the state of the city address that I need to make. All right, so there's them. Pick one and pass it down. When everybody gets theirs, then I'll start. I've got a typo on it, so I'll have to give you an original.
Okay.
And sign it on Friday. All right. For the State of the City and Fiscal Year 2024 City Budget Message, the City Commission's primary budget objective is to generate sufficient revenue to pay expenses during the 2024 fiscal year. After passing our property tax ordinance in May last year, the cost of goods and services rose substantially and continue to rise daily for various reasons beyond our control. As such, our City Commission will be making very hard decisions this year while preparing to pass our required annual ad valorem tax and budget ordinance. The Jefferson County PVA office will be providing the City of Warrington Hills with the 2023 property values in late April. Once we receive those reports, the City of Warrington Hills City Commission will be finalizing the city's fiscal year 2024 ad valorem tax ordinance, which will comply with the requirements set forth in KRS 132.027. The most important fiscal year 2024 budget line items are, again, security, waste collection, property maintenance, and road maintenance. Our city commission should develop and approve a budget designed to cover these ordained expenses without using our city's reserve funds. In conclusion, the city commission needs to continue to practice of being fiscally responsible. Both the city commission and our city residents need to understand our reserve fund is a rainy day fund and not a mulligan fund for poor or feel good expenditure decisions. Our primary revenue sources are limited to our property tax and insurance premium tax collections. Losing all or a portion of either one of these revenue sources for any reason would quickly deplete it. Natural or man-made disasters and or pandemics are unpredictable and devastating. Being financially prepared for the worst-case scenario is always the best and correct path to take and follow. So, I've said a few things. First thing after this now is I prepared... I used last year's ordinances these are just the first read. They may need corrections, but I wanted to go over these, get these started, okay, so that we don't... It's okay. Those go over there. So we get these out of the way to start with instead of being at the last minute. And again, the two you're getting, one side is the property tax, the ad valorem tax, and the other side is the budget ordinance. And we'll just read through these in a minute. Everybody got a copy? You want me to read them, Steve, or you want to read them?
I'll do it.
Okay. Do the property tax first. Yeah, this is correct. The long one.
This would be ordinance number, if we pass them in the same order that we're reading them today, would this be ordinance one? We haven't passed any more this year.
No, we haven't in 23.
No.
For the time being, this ordinance one, series 2023, City of Woodland Hills, Kentucky, a tax ordinance for fiscal year July 1, 2023 to June 30, 2024. Be ordained by the City of Woodland Hills Commission that Section 1 pursuant to Harris 92-520 paragraph 4, parenthesis 4, City adopts the land and improvement values of the Jefferson County Property Valuation Administrator. Section 2, a per $100 value .1690 city ad valorem tax of the combined land and improvement values of each unabandoned and land parcel located within the city boundary shall be assessed on as of July 1, 23. Section 3 has approved $100 value, 0.75 city ad valorem tax of the combined land improvement values of each abandoned land parcel located within the city boundary shall be assessed as of July 1, 2023. Unabandoned, okay. Section 4, this tax levy is necessary to generate sufficient revenue to pay budgeted city expenses for the 2023-24 fiscal year in order to properly govern the city for the benefit of its residents. Section 5, the tax payment schedule for city-located property owners is the base tax minus 2% discount for payments made in July 23, the base tax for payments made in August 23, the base tax plus 11% of the base tax for payments made in September 23, the base tax plus 11% of the base tax plus 1% of the base tax for each month beginning October 23 until principal and interest are paid in full. Section 6, delinquent taxpayers obligated to pay a $150 attorney's fee. Section 7, the effective date of this order shall be July 1, 23 after its passage and approval and publication pursuant to county law. Passed and approved during the... So...
This will be May 16, 2023.
May 16. 2023 city meeting by the city commission pursuant to law. Now, I prepared one, and this is something I should have mentioned a while before, but I'm paying Bev to send these letters out. and I'm paying for the postage to send these letters out. And then when we record a lien, I have to prepare a lien. And then when the lien is paid off, I have to prepare a lien release. So what I put in my draft of this, and this is something this is going to need to vote on. It doesn't have to be done tonight. You can vote on it tonight. But I added a section of delinquent taxpayers where we had to pay the city attorney $75 to prepare and record tax liens and the like for releases.
Okay.
So that's something for you all.
Yeah, we just, this was just the first read.
Right.
We'll
right.
finish it up.
All right. I just want to throw
okay.
it
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
We'll work on it between now and May.
That's the first reading as required by statute. We have to have two readings. They don't have to be subsequent
right.
1 month after the other. So what Bob's projected is that illuminations and considerations and discussions will probably be released in March.
Right.
Okay, the next one would be the, what do you want to do next, Bob?
Do, you want to do the budget ordinance because the insurance is just a preliminary and
right.
just to head off anything Louisville might try.
Okay, here's ordinance. This would be ordinance 2, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, they'll be in that order. Yeah, they'll do the tax because we get PVA stuff sometime around the 23rd of April.
Right.
We check it, be prepared for May's city
right.
meeting, okay?
This would be ordinance 2, series 2023. City of Woodland Hills, Kentucky, 2023-24 fiscal year budget ordinance. You may remember, maybe not, but years and years ago we had a very lengthy budget ordinance. I mean, each line item was covered. And then in time, Bob figured out that there's a much more flexibility by just turning two line items. So that's where we are. According according to KRS 90, and these references to statutes and statutes that govern these particular issues, all right, so according to KRS 91A.030, parentheses 10, close parentheses, the Kentucky City of Woodland Hills says hereby adopt this 2022-23 budget ordinance. And then Bob had some numbers in there. I don't know if they were a carryover from last year.
Well, no, I did some updates on the
okay.
budget.
So
I changed them to, I wrote them in.
General fund revenue without carryover, I suspect maybe not that these numbers may change, but for now it's $363,502. General fund expense $362,028. So
I wrote them on my new one.
No, there's a few dollars there.
Yeah. the dollar amounts they were working on the budget anyhow. These are projected initial.
This ordinance shall be properly signed and published and become effective on July 1. Took up the first. Passed and approved in June. Bob's predicting that we'll do a second meeting and pass this on June 20, 2023, the regular scheduled meeting. So that's the entire group pursuant to the statute of law and the proper circumstances. The third one is this insurance statute.
I got to hand them out.
All right.
This is preliminary, just in case.
Preliminary, I like that.
Preliminary. No.
I've got one.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. This would be 3, ordinance number 3, series 2022. City of Woodland Hills, Kentucky, ordinance amending ordinance 2, series 2015, increasing the life insurance premium license percentage from 6% to 10%. Ordinance number 2, series 2014, increasing non-life policy premiums from 6% to 10%. Whereas increased revenues are needed by the city to meet its financial obligations, be ordained by the city that ordinance number 2, 2015, section 2, which reads license fee imposed. This is an insurance license fee upon an insurance company. Each insurance company which issues life policies on the lives of persons residing within the corporate limits of the city of Woodland Hills shall be, what we do is you line out the number of the things that are being changed. So if we got a line through 6% for the first year's premium actually collected within each calendar quarter by reason of the issuance of such policies, shall be amended as follows. The same language, but we're increasing it to 10%. Ordinance 2, Series 14, Section 3. Again, the license fee is And this can be a cursory reading. It doesn't have to be word
right,
by word.
Right.
The second reading has to be detailed by word by word. So we're bumping. The old rate was 6, and then in Section 3, the amended rate's going to be 10, if you all have to do that. The ordinance shall be effective July 1, 2023, and passage approval, publication required by law. It will be signed on the date that it's passed.
See, let me explain this insurance premium tax. This is a preliminary thing. A few years ago, Louisville was talking about raising their insurance premium tax 10%. Anything that we collect, okay, if we're at 6% and they've increased theirs to 10, we collect 6, they get the additional 4. It isn't doing anything for the city of Worthington Hills, so the person holding the insurance policy is going to pay 10% one way or another. They're going to pay 4% to the county and 6 to us. But when you pay something to the county, we all know how much you don't get at the county from the county. So, by doing this, we would end up with the 10%. They would end up nipping from the residents from the city of Worthington Hills. This is just a preliminary because you have to have 2 reads. This ordinance has to be passed if it goes was to go into effect in July. It has to be done and completed 120 days prior to the 1st of July, which is the first week in April. Okay, so this is why we make a first read on this. Even though we've never passed it since when Carol was even commissioner, we read this. So it's something we do just as a preliminary, precautionary type thing. Okay?
Did Louisville raise theirs to 10%?
Huh?
Did Louisville raise theirs to 10%?
We don't know yet. We won't know until they start scurrying around downtown. We have to keep an eyeball on them. And Jefferson County League of Cities, make sure that we know about this stuff, okay? But the first thing is, you got to have a first read. And if they're going to do it, we'll know about March, okay? So if it's going to happen, we'll know possibly how much. If they are going to make a change, we'll probably end up having a special meeting after they pass theirs so that we're matching theirs.
So if they don't change, then you typically don't change
our... No, we don't do anything. It just goes by the wayside.
Okay.
Okay? All right. This thing on the agenda, let's see what I got here. Oh. Do you have... Okay, I want to... Steve, where are we at on the delinquency letters?
We're really collecting steadily the 2022, and we collected a lot of money. There's still quite a number that have not paid. The 2021s, I mean, they're irascible. I mean, they're
okay.
We haven't collected any 21s, I don't think. But what
all
I
right.
might do is, and Bev comes out to the office and helps. And we have a good time.
I've got something I want to. I want to talk about that on new business.
I just wanted to say that we might send out a separate letter and say, "Look, you guys are going to incur the wrath of Mayor Stone."
No, Mayor Stone doesn't.
Maybe a second nudge letter or something. That Beth and I'll talk about that. That's what she does.
We do. We do need to come up next year, and this is on farther down. We do need to have a more stricter time frame on these tax bills. All right. Is there anything else that we need to talk to on that?
Unless anybody has any questions, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Okay, I got the 121-28 Bay Run Drive signage move. Because Linda wanted to talk about that. Is everything okay over there now?
We're okay. 12128.
Mm-hmm.
The sign got moved on the 5th of February, and I requested Mr. Hall tell me how much it was, or tell somebody how much it was, so we could bill the homeowner. And I'm still waiting for a reply from him. I've asked him twice, I'm not going to ask. I'm going to keep asking about it.
Well, once we get the his next invoice, we'll check to see if anything's on there.
Do you want me to talk about the drainage problem?
Yeah, you can go ahead and talk about it. You know, it's.
Did everybody get the picture that I sent you in the email?
Oh.
Okay. I went over there today and I took a picture of that driveway because I looked back. Well, what I did was I did an open reference request with MSC. I got 58 pages of open reference.
Tell them what the address is.
It's been going on since 2002. This woman has had this property for over 4 years. It's always been a rental property. It's still a rental property. They have rental properties all over the city and county and outlying areas as well. But anyway, the last time MSC was on the 5th of December, and they do what they do every time. They grade it. They put straw down. Part of the problem, according to the open records reports, is there is an issue at 11007, which runs down also. But if you look at those pictures, there is between an inch to a 3-inch gap between the pavement and the apron on that driveway. Now, that's not... I don't believe that's going to be something the city's responsible for fixing. I mean, this is...
Where the asphalt stops, our stops.
But it's been... And I explained to the homeowner. I said, you know, she said, well, I pay my taxes. And I said, yes, ma'am. We all pay our taxes. But we can't use tax money to do something that's only going to benefit you. We have to use the tax money to benefit the entire community of homeowners. She said, well, I didn't think about it that way. And I thought, well, probably not. But anyway, she was going to set aside a time where she and I could meet with a representative from MSC because I want somebody besides the road commissioner to tell her this is not a problem that has anything to do with it, except it's your responsibility. So she's going to check her schedule and get back to me on that.
Okay.
Well, I want to point out that one of those checks is from Ray that I gave them.
Did she get caught up?
Yeah, she has one more. No, she has one more.
No, excuse.
Don't lose any sleep while we're full of bricks. Come on.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commissioner Bedell, for that report on that driveway.
What was that address, Linda?
Hey, pardon?
What was the address on that property, please?
110 110005 Lindenburg Court.
Thank you.
Okay. The next thing I have on for old business is, does the commission have anything else they want to talk about on old business? Because I'm about to get into the stuff on the insurance and out-of-state tax. All right. Last meeting, I brought up these out-of-state tags, and I now have an official title for our people who are possibly not carrying or not having their insurance address correct, and it's called garaging. Okay. And I did do some checking. I talked to Eric DeCampos. He's from the NICB, which is the National Insurance Crime Bureau. And he gave me a few links to this matter. And I'm going to send out the emails and all the research I've done. But if people are not putting or not having their insurance listed with their current address in Worthington Hills, then they're garaging. and it's a form of insurance fraud. The claims from the materials that I found, the claims can actually be denied. So they may be thinking they're getting less insurance cost, but if they're ever involved in any kind of accident, they could actually have their claim, anybody filing against their insurance policy, claim denied. There's case history on it. Progressive, I actually read a blog where an insured person with Progressive was getting a claim denied because they had not had the right address on their insurance policy. So they may think they're getting away with cheaper rates. And the reason why I bring this up is Louisville is one of the highest insurance rated areas in Kentucky. And we have people that do not want to get their tags in Kentucky, and they also, for some reason, I don't know, or we don't know, if they're actually using their address of Worthington Hills to get their insurance, or even if they have insurance, because they don't have Kentucky tags. In Kentucky, you know you have to have insurance. You can't get tagged with that insurance. And even if you get your tag and then you drop your insurance, Kentucky's now sending out notices, and they're also, if you get stopped, the police officers can check to see if you're carrying current insurance. So it's on there. And this is an issue because, as you heard from my state and city address, we get two types of revenue. Our main types of revenue are the property tax and the insurance premium tax. And the insurance premium tax is quite a lot. We get basically about $150,000 this year is what we're projecting. And our property tax right now, here's what we've got right now. Right now, in our property tax this year, both current and delinquent, we've collected $188,000. Okay? The insurance premium tax payments come in quarterly. So we've got one in, right now we're at $95,547 in insurance premium tax. So you can see once we get the next one, we average about $35,000 to $40,000 when we get those in. So this is like almost matches what our property tax is. And we are limited on what we can increase on property tax, but we're not limited on what we can increase in insurance premium tax. But we try not to be mean, okay? There's a lot more. Newport has over 10, I think they have 12%. That's where I'm from. That's why I know that. So, but I wanted to bring that up because we have a concern. If they don't have a Kentucky tag, how do we know they have insurance? How do we know if they have other states have lower rates or lower amount of requirements, lower liabilities that we might have? And also, they're paying their premiums to another address somewhere else, possibly, which is costing the city money. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is, first off, let's see here. We've got what I've done so far. I've worked with Victoria, our website person, and we put together another page that people, the neighbors, can help us out by reporting their neighbors, because some of these people are putting their cars in the garage. And this is going on our website. It's going to be similar to the one that's on the Department of Revenue's website. That's Kentucky's Department of Revenue. It's called Freddie Freeroader. It's Freddie Freeroader. And it gets reported anonymously. But I think some people are afraid to do anything on there. So we're setting one up on our website to where we could just transfer that information over to the Prairie Free Roader. LMPD and the Sheriff's Department aren't doing a very good job. The sheriff's actually responsible for making sure that Kentucky taxes for vehicles are actually picked or collected. That's part of their job, and they're not doing it. Dennis and I go to the mailbox, and how many times do we see expired tags and out-of-state tags? And they're running around with these little emblems of the school, you know, my child's an A-plus student at such-and-such school here in Jefferson County. So it's quite obvious that the people are cheating somebody. The government agency affected by vehicle property tax avoidance are first the state, then the county, JPCS, and Anchorage Middletown's Fire District. And I don't have kids. I'm 71 years old. I don't have kids, but I got two cars that I'm paying Jefferson County tax for. So, again, the county, they take care of some of the roads. The state has needs, too. So they're actually cheating the state and everybody down from there to little city of Worthington Hills. And on this, I also say vehicle owners garaging could be uninsured or underinsured and are avoiding COWH insurance premium tax. And that should really peeve people off. If they're, you know, the people that are following the law are paying the insurance premium tax. The people who are trying to avoid it are getting the same benefits as we are and not paying their fair share. So my question to Steve is, what legal actions can be taken by COWH? That would be us.
On the insurance premium tax?
Or, you know, we know there's people in the city that have out-of-state tax. The only way we can be assured that we're going to end up with the insurance premium tax is the fact that they get Kentucky tax.
I'm not sure there's anything you can do. I mean, how do you obtain that information?
Drive around. I got addresses all over the place. I got 28 addresses of people without out-of-state tax.
Without what?
Without out-of-state tax.
Oh, tags.
Tags.
Okay, tags.
Tags, T-A-G.
Okay. Well,
is there anything we can do?
No, no, here's the deal. They may have out-of-state tags, but when they renew that and they're a resident of Jefferson County, they have to go here. They can't go to another state and say, I live in this other state in another city. They can't do that.
Okay, let me... I have one resident, property owner, who is also on homestead.
Homestead exemption.
Okay, and they have an out-of-state tag. I have, I don't know how many rental units.
Are they the owners of the property?
I just said the guy's the owner of the property, and he sits his vehicle in the driveway.
I'm not doing that because if they reside,
it's real easy. Right now, even in Kentucky, you can renew your tag through the mail.
So, but they have on the title.
I know what the law is. I've got the law.
I can't help you, Robert, because
is there any kind of letter or anything that we could send out to the particular people?
What I'll do, I'll call the attorney, the county attorney's civil staff, who represents the county clerk.
As long as you, what we should be looking at, okay, and I'm talking about the full commission, not just Bob Petpeeve, okay? I'm looking at the possibility that we've got, it's just not fair for everybody not to be paying their fair share.
I get it.
Okay? And my biggest concern is insurance rates are going up 10 to 12% every year. Our projections on our budget, I project 5%. Okay? just because of the fact that you, some people may not cover as much coverage as their car gets older. Okay, so I just figure on 5% increase per year when I'm doing this budget calculation. If we're not actively trying to resolve issues...
I think you have to be proactive, but here's the deal, Robert. If I'm living here, and I'm a resident of Kentucky, and I live in the city of Williamson Hills, and I've got an Arizona tag that I mail for a renew of my tag in Arizona, and I want them to mail it back to me in Kentucky, they're not going to do that. Because what you're doing is saying, mail it to me in Kentucky, that infers that they're a resident of Kentucky.
Well, maybe they're not mailing it.
No, wait a minute.
All right. Maybe they're mailing it to a resident that turns around and mails it to the person living here in Kentucky.
We're gonna get you in a movie series, but I don't see how they get away with that. I really don't.
You remember that lady we were talking to on Lunenburg Drive a couple of years ago, and she had an out-of-state tag, and he just mentioned it, and she said, "Well, I'm not from Kentucky, and I don't care about Kentucky laws."
Yeah. Can you say that a little bit louder for Steve?
Okay. I didn't hear you, Dennis.
Okay. Bob and I were out running around the city a couple of years ago. And we were just talking to people when we saw them. And we were talking to this woman on Lunenburg Drive. And he just happened to notice that her car was licensed out of state. And he said something to her. And she said, "I'm not from Kentucky, and I don't care about your laws." And she was nice, but that's what the way she put it to me.
Yeah, but that's... And honestly... Yeah. I worked at Blue Cross and Blue Shield years ago, and
it was a short term.
Well, no, it was 11 and a half years, okay? And I was up in claims department one day trying to work for somebody, and trying to work for one of my brokers to get something corrected. And I heard this one girl talking to this other girl, okay, a woman, okay? One of the clerks talking to another clerk. We'll keep this gender out, okay? But she says, "I saw your new car." "Oh, yeah, that's good." She says, "Well, where'd you get it?" She says, "Well, I got it up in Ohio at my mom's and dad's town where I used to live, and I'm registering it at their house so I don't have to pay the Kentucky taxes on it." So,
I'm wondering,
it's not legal. She owns a car.
It's okay.
Somewhere in the system, it'd pick that up.
I'm going to look into this.
Okay. All right. So that's all I'm going to. As long as you look into it, I would like to know something back before next city meeting on what we can legally do.
I am going to look into this.
I mean, honestly, it's the biggest pet peeve for me.
I mean, if someone was, say, for instance, a snowbird, and they had
what Dan said.
Yeah.
But you can only be a resident. You can only
here's the rule on snowbirds. Okay.
That would be the only reason.
They have to live in the southern states more than 6 months.
You can't have two places of residence.
No.
You can't do it.
In fact, I read Wisconsin's law this morning, and it states in there that you can have, if you have a vacation home or a place where you go over 6 months per year, you don't have to have a Wisconsin tag. And it's the same way here in Kentucky. As long as you can prove that you're in another location more than 6 months, then yes. There's also another one. If you're active duty military, doesn't have to. And I don't know the exact ruling on the students that are out of state living in Kentucky. Okay, so those are the three options that I'm aware of. But when I drive around the city and see that car sitting in the driveway or parked in the garage with the garage door open 365 days a year, it's pretty obvious to me they're staying here.
Well, you say there are X number of these people. Do you know who they are?
I know the ones that own the property, yes.
If you can give me those people, I mean, I can...
I've got a whole list. Okay, I've got an Excel spreadsheet.
I need the list, sorry.
All right. I've even got their tag numbers.
Tax rates are cheaper even when they buy them.
Right.
And a renewal fee.
A neighbor of Jim's has been an ongoing problem until just this past month because they saw me taking pictures of their license plate.
So they get a Kentucky plate?
They now have Kentucky plates again.
Pretty cool.
Okay.
He's going to get shot.
There's range.
That's because she just bought another vehicle.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. The more information you give me about these,
okay,
these people, these scars,
okay,
then I'll get into it.
All right. All right. Emergency communications.
We'll be using Channel 11 tonight for the radio checks.
Channel 11 for the radio checks. Also, I talked to you about the Faraday bags or something?
Yeah, Faraday shields.
Faraday shields?
Have you found any good ones?
No.
Usually you can buy the material and make something.
Yeah.
What is
it? I haven't
seen
anything.
Faraday. He can spell it.
Faraday shield. I don't know how to spell it. It's an electrical shield.
For EMP.
If there was an EMP of some type, it would protect your radio equipment.
I started thinking about this after the balloon incident 2 weeks ago. Okay? I'll get to that later. All right. Now, y'all are here. We have one visitor that I know that doesn't know who all we are. So, we met Beth. Beth, right?
Yes.
We met Beth at the KLC training in Bowling Green a couple weeks ago. And that she's visiting here to see a real city meeting in progress. You're a council person, right?
Yes.
Okay. Which town are you all from?
City of Fox Chase.
Fox Chase.
Fox Chase, what a neat name.
Okay. All right. So, Steve, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Steve Schwager. I've been the city attorney since like 1982. And I like the people. Over the course of years, as you know, the things change. You know, the commissioners change, the mayor changes. So, but I enjoy doing it. And you always think that the board or commission at the time, whatever year, is the best. But this commission has been able to really improve, I think, property values by virtue of cleaning up the city space, getting rid of dead trees and all that stuff. And they work very hard. And so I think this is a very accomplished, well-organized machine. The only weak link is me, all right?
My name is Dan Small. I'm the city treasurer, and my only goal in these meetings is to not talk.
I ask some questions.
I'm Bev Lush, and I'm the city clerk.
I'm Mayor Stoneham. We've already met.
Yes, Matt, okay.
Please
say what you are.
She knows
I'm my name is Crystal Adams, and I did a 2-year stint as the road commissioner, and now I'm starting a 2-year stint as the property commissioner.
I'm Susan Moffitt. I'm the utility commissioner.
Hi, I'm Linda Brazile. This is my second go around. I was previously 4 years ago. Utility commissioner, this time I'm road commissioner.
Very nice to meet all of you. Very well organized meeting.
Thank you. This is one of the good ones. All right. Anybody have, I give each one of anybody that wants 3 minutes, 3 minutes to say anything you don't want to say. Anything? All right. I put it back on because Beth asked me to. New business. Commissioners got any new business?
You want to go ahead and talk about the tree down and all that?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you go ahead and talk about the tree down?
My address is here. Behind 11016 Lunenburg Court and 11018 Lunenburg Court, it's right on their fence line, and we have an easement, but property owners are expected to maintain is it 5 feet from their fence line?
Two and a half, three.
Okay, 2.5 to 3 feet from their fence line. Well, there's a whole bunch of trees and overgrowth behind these two houses on Lunenburg Court, and a tree fell, and it fell into our easement and into the property of Well, it's between 4616 and 4617 Pulaski Court. So Mayor Stoneham and Commissioner Metcalf went out there and took some pictures of it, and then they emailed me, and I went ahead and called Metro Codes and Regs on that. So that way 11016 and 11018 Lunenburg can be informed of their overgrowth to be cleaned.
Yeah, overgrowth. But we still have to take care of the tree on our property.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about. I don't know if you want me to have former Commissioner Hall, Maximus Longhair, I guess I should say. Do you want me to have Maximus Longhair take care of the portion that's on our easement?
We have to take care of the portion on our easement. We're required to. It's just like if the tree fell from one yard to the next,
okay?
The person, you know, the tree that it fell, the yard that it fell from is responsible for the portion in their yard, and the neighbor is responsible for their portion. We've been over this a dozen times over the past 4 years, okay, with all those ash trees that we had to get rid of, plus some of these other trees from the windstorms. And it, the only time that we actually did anything was when we had had three of our trees fall on this one property. Okay? So that was when Harold went in and took care of it.
Yeah,
but that's the only reason we did it, because we had had, we were in the process of getting it taken down, but it didn't get taken down soon enough. So we had to be accountable for it. So that, yeah, that's the thing with any kind of tree fall. Nature is not something that you have any control on. You try and catch it, see it, and take care of it before something happens. And in this case, it wasn't our tree, but it's on our property.
Okay.
Okay?
So I need to get with Maximus Longhair to remove the portion that is on our property. We're going to leave the part that's on the citizen's property on Lunenburg for them to take care of, and then I can inform the homeowners.
Yeah. If they want to come out there and have the guy who's taking care of ours take care of theirs, they can work out an arrangement with him.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I know that city funds can't be used on private property, so Maximus Longhair has to work something out privately with the citizens, correct?
Whoever they use, we're paying Maximus only for our portion. Okay.
They may want to call somebody else.
But it's like a bridge. Okay. So there's only a portion on the top part that's on these two people's property. Okay.
Now, I know that former Commissioner Hall has probably gone and spoken with the people at Lunenburg Court. Do you know if that's correct or not? Don't know.
No.
Do you want me to go and speak with these homeowners to inform them? They may not.
We don't interact with the homeowners, okay?
Okay. So
not unless they call first.
Okay. So Codes and Regs will inform them that fell behind the property.
Hopefully.
Okay. So tickets have been put in with Metro Codes and Regs for the overgrowth and trees down.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's taken care of. Now, this next thing we have is a resolution. This came to my attention because it came via an email from some other home rule mayor, and I thought this would be good for us also because it has to do with elections. Some legislator in his wisdom over in Frankfurt decided that all cities and counties and everybody should be a partisan type of a election. Now, the difference between a partisan and a nonpartisan is a partisan has parties. A nonpartisan is just what it says. It's non-politically partied. Okay? City of Worthington Hills is a nonpartisan election, and had all the cities, including Louisville, not been nonpartisan, there might have been a difference in this year's election in Louisville, especially if they get rid of the straight line party voting. But I won't go there. Do you want to read this resolution, or do you want me to read it? This was prepared by Henderson County's or City Henderson's attorney. Of course, I had Steve check it over to make sure it was okay. But this there's one thing in here I want to bring up. There are 415 cities in the Commonwealth, and only six of those cities have determined they need to conduct a partisan election. So, again, this is one of the reasons why. It's just a resolution. It's not an ordinance. It's a resolution. And basically, when we get done with this, I will be sending a copy of the signed one over to Frankfort to our legislative body people over there, letting them know that we're against it's House Bill 50 and Senate Bill 50. Okay? If we vote that way. All right? It has to be voted on. All right. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. City of Worthington Hills Resolution Number 1-2023, a resolution opposing the passage of Senate Bill 50 and House Bill 50 related to partisan local elections. Where, I'm going to paraphrase. The General Assembly has proposed bills in both the Senate and the House to require partisan local elections for the office of the County Commissioner, Mayor, Legislative Body members, all city officers, and soil and conservation officers. This has been the collective experience of members of this body that the question of... They're presupposing that this is what you guys have been thinking. It has been the collective experience of members of this body that this question of party affiliation is an infrequent question during during a suggestion that the voters do not consider the issues a significant concern, and whereas the statute establishes the policy of home rule for cities for the Commonwealth and the importance of local decision making since local boards can best establish the city policies and structures that work best to address the local issues. That would be the city. Whereas in keeping with the policy of home rule currently allows legislative bodies and boards to opt for partisan elections, giving those with the best insight into the will and constituents the ability to make the change that is desired by the voters. And whereas home rule, the commission feels that the issue should be made a local decision and not mandate upon other cities, and this is exactly what they're doing. They're trying to mandate this on other cities. Whereas the passage of this bill would change it for...
You missed a paragraph.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Whereas...
City, the commission feels that this issue should remain a local decision and should not be mandated upon cities. Whereas there are currently 415 cities in the Commonwealth, and only six of partisan elections. Whereas the passage of this bill and the change of 409 city elections to partisan elections will represent a departure from the home rule governing and will cause a substantial increase in election costs and organizational efforts within jurisdictions throughout the state. And whereas local government traditionally provides the services used by citizens and buildings, including parks and recreation, emergency medical, trash disposal, work services, and general provisions. Whereas these local issues and services, especially emergency services and utilities, could be at risk of increasing. So it appears to me that...
Keep going.
Oh, it's under that. Whereas cities have recognized an increased challenge in finding qualified people, that is true, serve in local elections, and see the addition of primary elections as well as potential for partisan acrimony, a further hurdle in attracting people to those positions. And whereas this commission has been nonpartisan, has done work. So they're okay.
Keep going.
I'm finally getting the gist here. Whereas the community ultimately sees no significant benefit required, so they're saying there we don't want partisan elections.
We do not want partisan elections.
No, I was thrown off initially, but you resolve not to have partisan elections, and I think that's you don't want to do it. And I don't even think you need to pass this if you don't want to.
No, we're sending this over to Frankfort to the legislators over there.
Okay, I think this is a good thing.
Okay,
I'd like to do if it's a Word document, maybe clean it up a little bit.
Well, this is what Henderson sent out.
All right.
Okay.
I think you signed and sent it in. That's my.
That's what the what we're going to do. All right. So I need a, it. Do I hear a motion from a commissioner?
I'll motion.
Commissioner Adams. Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner McKay. You can't raise your hand, Linda. You have to. Okay. All right. So we have a first and a second. Do I have any need discussion? No discussion. We're going to go roll call vote. Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Commissioner Bevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Melton?
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Mayor Stoneham?
Yes.
Okay. Whereupon Mayor Stoneham declared the resolution adopted, affixed his signature and date thereto in order that the same be recorded.
Good job.
I'd like it noted that I appreciate us getting behind this. I think it's a bad idea to have politics.
You know, it's just an afterthought. I mean, if you do that, I'm wondering if you can seek donations. I mean, of course, you guys can seek donations.
We're allowed to do donations.
Yeah.
But
I'll shut up.
Yeah. Let me just give me this and then we'll be on. I'll pass that down to Steve and then I'll keep it, make a copy and send it off and give it to you on Friday. All right. Got that done. All right. Next thing on here, your bay garden. You're Miss Fisher, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have some issues. Okay. And I did some digging on the stuff, because let me preface this. Back in December, I sent an email to Ms. Fisher, and it also got to the president and one of the board members about the damaged fence behind 4401 and 4403 Bay Garden Drive. Also, in the meantime, just in this past week, three sections have fell down next to Bay Garden Drive going into the front. Okay. In December, they told me they were going to bring up this issue with the fence at their board meeting, but I haven't heard anything back. And because of the response that I got when I sent them the notice on this three section, I did some investigations on your master deed. Okay.
Do you have any master
deeds? This one is the one that's down at the it's posted on the website right now. Okay. And this one is dated back at, I don't know, when did you get a new one out?
Which one are you reading, please?
This is the one that was dated back in 96.
Okay, you have the incorrect master deed, sir.
It is the correct one?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Did you change it very much?
It hasn't had a lot of changes. It's been updated. None of our governing documents were updated since 96. Last summer, I believe it was June or July, we updated all our governing documents.
Okay. Did you take it into the courthouse?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, on your old one, and I'm assuming it has the same thing on this one, it talked about the fact that you are required to collect some portion of it is supposed to go to escrow for maintenance fees.
I understand.
Okay. And I know you've got high, you told me when I talked to you the other day, you've got high insurance rates and everything else. Okay. But there's also another issue that you may not be aware of besides the fences, and I wanted to bring this up tonight. Okay. Are you, and I want to give you a copy of the map because I thought you was going to be here. Because we need the map anyhow. I need to get the map out for everybody. But your property runs all the way down to the cellar place. Are you aware of that?
Not all the way down.
Yeah.
I've got all the plaques.
It runs all the way down to the street line. I've got the maps as soon as I find them. I knew this was going to happen. But anyhow, that stuff that's the old growth that's on the back side of the end of the court?
Between Bay Gardens and Philly?
Yeah. If you look at this flat map,
The property line runs all the way down to the same place.
I don't know who draws it. You're the center, but
that's from county.
I'll take care of it.
Okay. Take it to your attorney, but that easement down there, somebody's going to start getting letters on. And it's not our easement.
Do you want a copy of this?
Here. No, I got to have a copy down here.
Oh, okay.
I only got enough for her and us. So I wanted to bring that to y'all's attention.
Okay.
All right. Because this is the map we use. This came from, this is LOJIC. Okay? That's Jefferson County's mapping company.
Is there a date on
this? This is current. You can pull it up anytime. This is current. You can see all the lots. Okay? And the Tazewell Drive, that's Tres Condos. And then they got the stuff that's down there at East Bay Court. Okay. I just wanted to bring this to y'all's attention because I've talked to Jason before about it. Or Justin, your all's lengthy land person. So it hasn't started overgrowing. You know, we're still in the spring. But it's going to get, when the greenery comes out, it makes it that much more difficult to clean it out down there.
I honestly have no clue what you're talking about.
Okay. If you go down to Pacelli Drive,
okay,
between the privacy fence you all had at the end of the court there,
mm-hmm,
up to the privacy fence down to the Pacelli Drive, it is totally overgrown. I mean, it is overgrown and growing over the street.
Okay.
If you come down Naisman and take a left on Kelly, it's on your right hand side.
Okay.
It's just, you can see it. It's just overgrown.
It's behind your offense. Bordering.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to see it from your side.
Okay.
All right. Property tax bills. All right. Oh, I know what it is. The next thing I want to bring up is going to the training session. I found out that we could actually produce our own property tax bills, but we have to have an ordinance. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm a little confused. Exactly what do you want from me tonight?
All I want to do is bring it to your attention that the overgrowth has got to be cleaned up.
You want someone to clear that out.
Okay. And I wanted to prove... I just wanted to provide you with the documentation that we have that comes from Jefferson County showing where the property line runs all the way down to Pacelli.
There's a guy who does our maintenance, land maintenance. I don't know if he's interested in knowing his name and number, but he's good at what he does.
Okay.
There's a person that does our property maintenance, clears dead trees and stuff. And if you want his name and number, someone here could give that to you. Someone who might be able to give you a bid for doing that work.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
You can also contact the people that your neighbors on Tazewell at Trey Condominium because they have work done as well.
Yes, he's been in contact with me.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I got copies of our bills, what we did with PBA. I just got to find them here. We don't have to have PBA do our bills. But the reason why I bring this up is it's costing us 0.005%, which was just about $6,000 last year that we had to pay.
That sounds absolutely outrageous to me. I just want to say to mail out 674 bills, that definitely sounds high. So yeah, I think we can definitely be better than that.
Well, the thing is, okay, they get the charge because they provide us with the Excel file. Okay, I'm with the permission of the commission. What I want to do is I want to find out exactly what we get from PBA that doesn't cost us anything, because it could be just a text file or the first stuff that we get in April, and then we can take that, because we just have we're bound. We have 676 properties in Worthington Hills. We have a document. We have a blank document of the tax bill that they gave us last year, okay, that I feel like if we take it to the right vendor, and I don't know exactly what Mail Louisville can do because we've been using them, but if they can take our file and put it into the fields, okay, then we can do that much more. We pay for their envelopes or in their printing process, and they're combining the stuff. I think we can get by, or they would charge us a lot less than $6,000. But before I did anything, I wanted to run it past you all, because before I make that phone call to PVA to find out exactly what they're charging us $6,000 for last year, because if it's for that same file that we get in April plus all the rest of that stuff, we're still going to get charged $6,000 or whatever the amount of the property tax rate is.
What is the total, if I may ask a question, what is the total value of the taxable dollars in properties that reside within the
county? In our taxable amounts, I got that right here. Okay. We have last year our property tax values in 2022 was $118,883,670.
Right.
So it's a 0.005.
But we're not going to give you a schedule if you do it on your own. Someone's going to have to put it on the PVA and determine what those. Of course, you get online and do that.
I think you can buy a mailing list.
The thing that I bring up, we got last year's Excel files, and it would, if they're going to charge us for the updated one of $6,000 or whatever this year's amount is for our grand total, okay, then we could virtually use last year's list, and because last year was the reassessment date. So the only ones that are really going to
re... Did you say it was going to be reassessed this year, too?
No, it's not going to be reassessed this year. But we had sales. So we'd have to go down each one of the addresses and check on PVA. You could virtually pretty much tell who's the current people and who aren't. But go through and check to make sure that the property values are the same on the PVA website. That's what's on the website, on the Excel file, and then take that file and be able to use it for mailing.
Well, they didn't give us an itemized bill of what it cost for the list and then what it cost for the services of
mm-hmm.
the limit. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, in my opinion, you're making a huge mistake if you do that. And who's we? I mean, you're talking about the commissioners doing all this work?
Oh, I'd go in and I would go in and look down all the. I would go on the website and look down all the prices. It can't take that long for 600 and something houses.
All right, good luck with all that.
But
and just if you make a mistake, it's on you, right?
All right. Well, see, the thing is I think PVA is required to give us this information in that file that they give out in April.
And is that free?
Well, that's what I want to find out.
No, you're just saying if they're charging for an Excel file, maybe you don't want the Excel file. If they get a...
If they send it, what they send us in April is they send us an Excel file and a text file. And on both files, they have the property owner, the property address, the partial ID...
I don't think the parcel ID is on both those. I think one of those lists doesn't have the parcel ID.
It doesn't.
The Excel file doesn't, but the text file does.
Okay.
The big text file, and it's still the one that I get these totals for, the total amount is on the biggest text file.
Okay.
So you can basically convert that over to an Excel file, pulling the right fields. I'm just, before I do anything, I just wanted to get permission to investigate.
There's no reason not to look into it, but I think that it's going to be a debacle if you do it.
I'm just bringing it up. I just wanted to check with PVA. I want the commission's approval to check with PVA.
Yeah, I'd like to know how much the list is from PVA.
Right.
You can find somebody else to mail it for way cheaper than $6,000.
Well, they print out the bills and everything, so if we can get the bills printed and that, yeah. I won't, you're right.
All
we need is the list. We can do the bills.
Have someone else merge and print the bills.
Yeah, okay. Is everybody okay with that?
You can ask.
Okay, thank you. I'm not.
As my mother used to say, no is an answer.
But yeah. If I don't, I had to ask. I didn't want to go out on my own and do all this stuff and find out that it wasn't going to fly with you all anyhow. Okay, yeah, it's just research other options. Okay. For this year's tax bills, we want to establish an absolute timeline for the late delinquency bills. We tried to do it in November last year, and it didn't get done again until January. And I don't know.
Yeah, but there's people that are going to come in. I mean, if you pull the trigger in November, I think it's. I mean, I'll do that if that's what you want me to do. But.
Well, I just hate. The reason why I bring it up is, you know.
But I can only do that if I understand who the delinquent taxpayer is.
I understand that. I mean, you can't do anything until you get the notice, the people. I understand that, too. You get the list from Dan. But. We need to make sure it's we're not running into the same thing that I got a couple of phone calls from people saying, I don't remember getting your bill when they get their Jefferson County tax bill.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's why we'd like to get it out before or about the same time Jefferson County tax bills go out. Okay. Staying informed. How many of the commissioners get the KLC direct line and the other thing that comes in on Friday? It's called City Limit News Bulletin. Is everybody getting that in your emails? Is everybody looking at it, watching it? Okay. Need to stay informed.
Can I speak to something about the taxes, though, before we go any further? About the delinquent taxes.
Okay.
May I make a comment?
Go ahead.
I think we have at least one homeowner who, since 1984, the city of Worthington Hills has placed lien after lien after lien on this property because they don't want to pay their taxes for the city of Worthington Hills. And they're allowed to get by with it and get by with it, and I think that's a threat to say every homeowner
that struggles to pay their taxes.
Who is it?
I don't want to say it.
She's talking about the same one we talked about earlier.
The same one that we didn't talk about.
Wade?
Yes, the same thing before. This homeowner has managed to have over 20 liens on their property.
But they're not all city wardens and bills liens.
Oh, yes.
No,
I looked back on the clerk's record, and it says City of Worthy Hills.
Okay.
City of Worthy Hills lien. You go, a few more years, City of Worthy Hills lien. And they get the lien released, they finally pay their taxes.
I need to release some of those liens. I need to release some of those liens. She's down to 1 year that she owes.
But why does the city allow a particular homeowner to do this over and over and over again? I mean,
because she doesn't have the money, Linda. She's a single black woman. She's never been married. She never had a sibling. And her mother just died. And she doesn't make a lot of money. So I'll take it upon myself.
What happened to her in 1984? What happened to her in 1984 and 86?
They've all been paid.
And 88 and 2000.
They've all been paid.
What other recourse would
But it
have?
Took forever for her to pay them, I guess.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm not being hard-nosed about somebody that's having a hard time, because I've had a hard time myself financially. But what I'm saying is that at what point do you just do what every other taxpayer does and pay your taxes?
She's not the only one, Linda. There's many. But here's the other thing. You're picking up the interest. I don't charge her my fee. I waive my fee because I don't want her paying that fee, because she's a beautiful woman who I talk to all the time. She's got a huge heart. She just has not had the ability to pay. So we have all that interest, the 11%, the 1%, all of that's been paid. I have to release some liens, so let me do that.
Why does she have a property that she's not living in? That's my question.
She's allowed to.
Why is she not living in this property?
She doesn't have to.
Why is she living in another property and paying? She's paying
because
of local taxes.
Because the house is in bad shape.
She's allowed to do that.
Well, that's fine. But I mean, why not rent out her? Why not rent it out? That's the income.
That's the conversation you have to have with her.
I've got a neighbor across the street who lives in Atlanta, and she doesn't live in the house across the street from me.
Alright.
It mostly just sits. I don't know.
And homeowners insurance doesn't cover vacant houses.
Thank you. That's one of the things that concerns me, Steve, too. The houses that even if they're insured, if they find out that there's nobody lived in the house for more than 30 days, and if you haven't been out to the city recently, those houses, if they go up, it's both sides.
What do you mean 30 days and there's nobody living there?
If there's nobody living in the house, if it's vacant for more than 30 days, the insurance does not cover claims.
And this particular property has a car.
That's an insurance policy.
What if someone goes on vacation for 6 months and more?
You come by, if something happened to the home, you could easily go in and see, okay, they've got furniture set up, there's beds set up, there's food in the refrigerator, someone's been living there. But it's pretty obvious if everyone has moved out, they've moved all their stuff out and the house is empty, then it's vacant. The insurance will not cover this.
That's in every home insurance policy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How do we know that?
I used to work for State Farm.
Right. Yeah, and I heard the same thing from Estelle's husband, who's used to be, he was, Quiz was what do they call them?
Agent?
Not an agent, but the guy that went out and...
Adjuster.
An adjuster. He was an adjuster for an insurance company. And he told me the same thing. And the thing is the...
Well, I'll tell Miss Reed that.
I mean, it's... nowadays, when people go off for 6 months, they go Airbnb and get somebody to live in the house.
Okay.
Okay.
But here's my question. It's a burden of proof. I mean, who, if the house goes up, the refrigerator burns up, you can't go in there and do a forensic study and say, oh, there wasn't a bologna sandwich in the refrigerator. So how do the insurance company know?
They have investigators, okay, and they're really good at their job. So, and I guarantee you, if they come and ask me, I'm going to tell them the house is vacant.
So you're going to really ruin this woman and everything.
It's not a matter of ruining the woman. It's a fact. It's a fact.
Well, you guys are really mean. I can't understand that. I
mean, the thing is, hers is not the only house that's vacant. We've got another one down the street that I complained to code enforcement on. Okay? So, we're watching out for all the neighbors. If that house, hers sits in the middle of the street, if her house was to catch fire, it's going straight down this way.
That's a good point, because there's no one there, there's electrical fire or something, it's dangerous for the neighbors, and their houses go up too.
Right.
So, I'll take care of that.
All right.
I'm going to bring this Ray here the next meeting, and go over and just keep going to the house.
No, it ain't going to bother me.
Well,
all right.
Will you please release her liens? Because it's been several months. You keep saying that you're
going to
do it, and it hasn't happened yet.
Thank you.
Right, but I get the money. I think that's more important. I'll get the liens released for you guys.
Yeah, I think it's only fair to her that she is paying that you release those liens.
Right.
And again, one other thing I'd like to say, Mayor Stoneman, the house across the street from me, the parolee that was across the street from me, I'm not sure if you're aware, but he passed away from a drug overdose back in late December. So that house across the street from me may be vacant. I'm not sure. I do see lights on, but I don't really see cars, so I'm not sure if she's got.
Well, I know somebody used to be living over there when he was over there. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but that may be something that we need to look into also if you're looking at vacant property.
Well, I'm not looking at it. I'm basically more concerned about the neighbors and bringing this to people's attention on these insurance matters, because it's everybody's concern. It's just not the commission's concern. It's everybody's concern. And people need to let the commission know. Okay, it's very important that we know these things. That's why I'm trying to set up this new page so that people can report their neighbors and not worry about anybody knowing where it came from, because it's...
You know,
it's
a point, and that's a good point. I'm glad I got somewhat defensive, but I'm going to say, you know, Mr. Ray, why the hell don't you sell the house?
Right.
If you're not living there, you're going to get some money. You claim to be poor and not having money, so this will scare up some money.
Well, not only that, but she's got to go to code enforcement court here on March 3rd
for hanging letters.
Open that can of worms. I'm sorry.
I don't know what it's for, but she's...
Well, I can find out. I can get online.
Well, there's a court... She's got all kind of
it's
issues.
It's because of non-maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's code enforcement. I'll check. I can pull that up, and I'm going to have a powwow with her.
Okay.
All right. And she needs help.
All right.
I'm not being...
Yeah,
hard
it doesn't
hard.
Make sense that she is...
Yeah, it seems incongruous about what she's doing. She should sell the property.
Yeah, right. Something's not making sense.
I released the liens, and she has one more month.
Okay.
Yeah, she can't sell the property because there's liens on it. Right. That may be why she can't.
She's only got issues.
She hasn't put up for sale, but I'll release
the liens. Okay.
Take care of it.
Yeah.
All right. The last thing I have before the commissioner's reports is the pipeline training. This is... This is next month on March 16th. Registration begins at 5:30. I guess it'll start at 6. This is a good training. Every year that I've been to it, it's been exciting. I know the people that have gone have really enjoyed it. And if you're the thing that my biggest concern is we need to be prepared for all emergencies. And whether you realize it or not, Westport Road is full of pipelines. Okay? When you drive down the road and you see that little white pole sticking up out of the ground, that's a pipeline. Now, I have no idea what's under there, but half of Worthington Hills is gas.
Ammonia?
Yeah.
I believe it's ammonia.
Yeah, I think so too, because they had an ammonia leak over there at the drive-through place. So, we have really big emergency situations. just as 14 days ago, I guess it's in East Palestine, Ohio, they had the big train wreck. Okay. If you're not familiar with the tracks that run along, what's that, 144, whatever that road is, LaGrange Road?
146.
When it goes past Chamberlain Lane headed towards town, we are directly northeast of those tracks, which if you saw the information on East Palestine, those people have been inundated with all kind of fumes and everything from the railroad people and the EPA people and everybody else thinking they could burn the stuff. Okay, this is one of the things that always concerns me with us being city leaders. Okay, it's important that we look at all the possible catastrophes, not just pipelines, not just burning chemicals out of railroad yards. But at the beginning of the month, I know you hate to hear about this, China's balloon. But China could have easily, on that balloon, had an EMP type of device, which would have put all of the United States back into the Stone Age. Because at the height that they were at, it's 60 plus thousand feet, you're already seeing the curvature of the earth. And at that level, and at the path that it took, all they would have had to do is do whatever it says. The MP doesn't explode. They could actually put out a pulse. And that pulse could have been large enough with the solar panels that they had on there, because they talked about the solar panels on them now. They were great big solar panels. That pulse could have been easily large enough to take down our total electrical grid. Now, I don't want to scare anybody, but this is scary. Because once you lose your electrical grid, you've lost everything. You're going to lose your internet. You're going to lose your capabilities to even function, because your lights aren't going to be on. You're not going to hear any kind of radio transmission because everything's going to be down. EMP is very dangerous. Not like an atomic bomb. You have an atomic bomb, it could get a pulse too. If you ever watched Broken Arrow with John Travolta when they blew up the copper mine, okay? Took out the helicopter. But that pulse, when it comes out, it doesn't kill anything. An atomic bomb will kill you. It'll burn you flat out alive within so many mile radius. But an electronic pulse, electromagnetic pulse put out at high altitude, is not going to kill life forms. It's going to put you back in the Stone Age. And again, I bring this up just to keep you in mind. As city commissioners, it's very important for us to look at emergency type of situations. And that's pretty much what I wanted to bring up on the training. If you haven't signed up for it, I really encourage you to sign up for it. I know I'll be there because I enjoy it. They have giveaways. They have giveaways from the vendors, and they also have good giveaway prizes. So, again, that's on the 16th of March, and it's down at the Shelbyville campus somewhere of UL.
UofL Shelby campus, yeah. Off of LaGrange Road.
Right. Okay.
I'm not LaGrange.
No, it's Shelbyville Road. It's off of Weddington Parkway. Yeah, it's somewhere down there in that. They've got the address. They sent out the invite. I made sure they sent out an invite to everybody's email address. I talked with the woman that's in charge of that, of their database, and made sure that she got everybody out an invitation. So with that, I will move it to, if there's nothing else in the new business, I'll move it to the commissioner reports. All right, commissioner reports. Who would like to be first? Commissioner Babel, go ahead.
This is a report January the 17th through February the 21st. January 17th, I attended the first City of Worthington Hills Commission meeting for 2023, and I was assigned the position of Road Commissioner. Did a radio check with Commissioner Medcalf. January 18th through the 20th, I attended the Kentucky League of Cities Academy in Lexington. Had a good old time. Learned some new things this time. January 24th, I reached out to Mason with Mo' Better and introduced myself to discuss the protocol for treating the roads during inclement weather. And I will work in tandem with Mason and Mayor Stoneham to keep the streets as safe as possible during the winter. January the 24th, I contacted Andrew with Safety Co. via email and asked about the status of replacing the missing stop sign and street sign at the intersection of Jefferson and Northumberland. He said he was waiting on the approval of the estimate of $504.25, and in the interim, I was advised that the street signs, that street signs were needed at the intersection of Bay Garden Court and Bay Run Drive. So I requested a new estimate, and which he did, and I asked for those to be installed at the same time the signage was replaced on Jefferson and Northumberland. The total cost of all that signage plus labor was $659.15, as reported on your consent. On January the 30th, I talked to Mason and Mayor Stoneham, and we had to treat it prior to the snow event that occurred on the evening of the 30th. The following day, Mo' Better came out and treated 70% of the surfaces for the second time. And we want to try to make sure that doesn't happen too much because the second treatment is always more than the first. On February the 5th, I followed up with Mr. Hall about moving the sign and asked for a follow-up on the price, and I still haven't heard from him. Let's see. On the 7th, I contacted 811 to get the Jefferson and Northumberland site marked and advised Safety Co. when it was cleared for installation and they installed the new signs. I've already told you all about returning the phone call from the property owner at Lunenburg. And that's it for me.
I have a question. Did you get the Bay Run, Bay Garden sign installed too? Is that the
garden? Yes,
I know we paid for it, but I didn't hear that it got installed all of it.
Yes.
Yeah, it got installed the same day that the stop sign
got put in. The same day that Dickerson got in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have paid for it if it hadn't.
Okay, I can go next.
Okay, go ahead, Commissioner Moulton.
The Utility Commissioner's report for February 1/30/23. I drove the city for street light check. 2/9/23, registered for pipeline training. 2/13/23, drove the city for street light check. 2/17/23, I got an email forwarded from Beth in regards to a street light. On 2/20/23, I called the resident back at 4/3/15 Lunenburg. She stated that the message was in regards to her son hitting a light pole, and that she had spoken to Mayor Stoneham and that the matter had been taken care of. I called the water company to 2/20/23 in regards to the bill that the city received in the amount of $28.88. I spoke with Debbie, and she initially stated that, well, she said the bill was for irrigation at the island of 4119 Northumberland. She initially stated that there was no messages on our account in regards to turn off in October. We I was on the phone with her for an hour and 47 minutes. And we went round and round as to the specific message left, our messages in our account. And at the hour and 35 minute point, she finally admitted it was their mistake. And that the city would be refunded. Yeah. So, that amount of money will be refunded to our account.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah. She thought she was a shark in our jaw. So, I was mega annoyed.
That was after 5 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
That's the reason why.
She said we had until 6 to go through this. And I said that we're going to go for it. I know I spoke and had these turned off. So, and she also stopped the irrigation because apparently it was still on today. So,
I don't know. They came out and winterized the irrigation system, so I don't see how it could be on.
Well, she said that. That she brought that up too. She said, "Well, it says Waterworks turned it off." And it turned the irrigation off. And I said, "Well, no. The water company was supposed to turn it off." So it was just a big circle of her needing my account number for the different streets. And I said, "It's for the city." We went round and round. Yeah, it was something else.
I assume they're not
going to
federally expect or anything from October to now, right? Just like
$20. The bill was just from November till January. So I guess it was in that billing cycle up until October.
Okay.
3 months past. What would that be? August, September, and October was on one bill. I attended the city meeting. I read all February emails. We'll participate in the radio check with Commissioner Metcalf.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Muffin. Commissioner Adams.
My commissioner report is from January 18th to February 21st. I'll participate in the radio check with Commissioner Metcalf and everyone tonight, February 21st. I met with Commissioner Babil to go over the loose ends relating to open road commissioner issues since she was taking over for Mike's position. I visited the site to view the downed tree between 4615 and 4617 Pulaski Court that Mayor Stoneham emailed me about. This tree is on the property of homeowners that live on Leonberg Court. I called Metro 311 and put in tickets for Metro Codes and Regs for addresses 11016 Leonberg Court and 11018 Leonberg Court relating to the downed tree referenced above. In addition, each property has a large amount of overgrowth behind their fences. This has been reported to Codes and Regs in the same ticket. Ticket for 11016 Leonberg Court is SRHWDS2301838, and ticket for 11018 Leonberg Court is SRHWDS2301893. That's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Metcalf.
Commissioner's report 2021-23. I drove the city on multiple occasions, conducted radio checks after last city meeting. We are starting to attend KLC Academy on 1.5.627 Bowling Green, Kentucky, on 1.227. On 227-23, called 311 due to contact replacement of the creek area outside with the door still attached at 4017 Northumberland Drive. On Tuesday, 2-7-22-9, Mayor Stoneham and I went to the post office. On 2-7-23, Mayor Stoneham and I stopped at 4017 Northumberland and asked them to remove the refrigerator, which they did. A contractor was working with that. And on 2-16, the Cyber Security Service, sponsored by Homeland Security, we conduct radio checks tonight. 221-23 using channel 11. On 316-23 will attend pipelines in service. And Mayor Stoneman went to Dan Small's office on one occasion and have one more thing to add to it. I contacted Tate Mason has had to move from 6 to 9 evening shift to 6 to 9 a.m. shift for okay. school buses.
Okay, thanks. All right. Reminder to the city commissioners. Our city clerk needs your reports by Friday, please. Okay. New thing on here. I've got it. I didn't get to this, but I wanted to go over this before we adjourn. And that is this. There's two pages here. Okay. The second page was the calculation. This page shows the calculation for the ad valorem tax. Okay. By statute, we can go up to 4% increase. Based it on 2022, this is what we ended up with. Okay. 0.1625. On 2023, we can move it up to 1.160 or 169. Zero and be within the 4%. And the reason why we're doing that is because, or should consider doing it, okay, is because of the amount of increase that we've had in our sanitation and in our security and just about everything else along the way. I have no idea what we're going to end up with this year on our insurances that we get in July, but the first page shows what our budget was. The center column is our approved budget from 2020 for 2023, fiscal year 2023. The center numbers are where we're at as of the end of January, and the right column was the numbers that I filled with, and these are the ones that we need to set in stone for our budget. The 364,186 is what would be in the revenue, and the 364,050 would be what would be in the expenses. These are down here at the bottom. And again, we're doing real well on our expenses again this year, and most of that comes to the fact that I don't like to say the word hasn't happened, okay? And we're about to hit 70 tomorrow, I believe. So
80, I heard.
I'll take it 70, okay? But I want you to have these numbers. I will email you this spreadsheet. So this is our working document, okay? The ordinances that we had earlier in our meeting are the first reads. We can adjust them, okay, whatever we need to do. But I wanted to make sure you got this so that you can be looking at it. And, again, y'all are doing a fine job. Okay, let's keep it up. We need to, like I said, I'm going to encourage everybody to make sure they're taking as much emergency disaster preparedness training as they can get. And also any other kind of training. Stay on top. The direct line, the KLC direct line, there's training classes that they offer that are Zoom meetings. A lot of them don't cost anything. They're sponsored, like the one that Dennis and I went to last week with the cyber training was put on by Homeland Security. And it was nothing like we ever been to before. So they had all kind of technical people there. We're talking IT people and everything, and they were talking about all these things that didn't make a whole lot of sense out of me. But one final thing, okay? Last week or the week before, I was sitting minding my own business, and I thought, you know, we have problems with the younger generation. And part of the reason why are these smart devices. And, you know, give them a math problem, and if they don't have a calculator, they're going to have a problem. So I came up with what smart means. This is all smart devices. And it's all based off of the five letters of smart. simplistic minds are right targets. And if you don't think military, the target is what they're after. They're targeting our young people. They're dumbifying them. They're, everything to them has to be entertainment, and everybody has to be a winner. And that's a problem. We have people that are not learning how to be, you know, have how to deal with issues. And that's a real problem. And we as commissioners, we there's not much we can do other than be there, do what we need to do for the taxpayers, and if we have an idea, let's go after doing something about it. I don't know what we can do at the city commission level, but other than keeping our city safe, I know on the way in here tonight, and last week when it got warm, that night that it was warm last week, I went out driving around the city, and we have a lot of children now playing out in the streets and in the yards, and that's what I want to see. I want to see kids outside doing activities, and that was encouraging to me that the kids were out there, they were having fun, the parents were out there with them. I'm like, maybe something's changing in Worthington Hills. So let's keep it a safe environment and do what we need to do. If you have ideas, let's run them past one another and do what we need to do to make our city one of those attractive places where people are fighting to get into it. So,
can I ask a question about your budget? Why did you increase the snow removal back to $40,000 and then decrease the security?
Why not? I mean, the fact is you know, we can do whatever we want, but snow removal happens. And we were lucky this year. We've been lucky since 2014. That's right.
It hasn't passed yet.
Yeah, but 2014. In 2014, this was before we had really good snow removal people. Though that city commission spent $82,000 on snow removal. Okay? We never know what's going to happen. It's easier to put it in there and then take it out after we don't use it and move it around. But if we, to, it's best to be prepared for it than not be.
That hasn't passed yet. You often debate those issues.
Right.
Yeah, I'm willing to, you know, just ask the question and we can talk about it later.
Right. Okay. Anything else? All right, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Muffin. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Y'all have a blessed evening.